Friday night, I was heading back from Matamidi. I was heading back to Minneapolis and got in the car and turned on the radio to a station that I often frequent, 99.5, the classical music station. And I happened to catch the front part, the beginning of a very exciting event. Friday night, 8 p.m. What would be going on Friday night at 8 p.m.? Symphony cast. It was symphony cast, and it was a very exciting symphony cast because it was the opening night for the Minnesota Orchestra. And Osmo Venska was back, and he was leading the Minnesota Orchestra again. The maestro was back. And sure enough, the people were very excited. The Mr. Brian Newhouse was telling me how the tuxedos were out in the audience and everyone was dressed in their finery. It was a very exciting night. And then, of course, you hear the applause and the conductor comes walking out, and then immediately it's into the music and to their first piece. I don't know if you are a fan of the symphony orchestra. The orchestra is a fascinating thing to me. I never have played in an orchestra. Actually, that's not true. I did play when I was younger in an orchestra on the trumpet. I later in life was in choirs. But that same idea of multiple different parts coming together to accomplish an end, it's just very fascinating to me. The idea that you have all these different instruments all making different sounds with different timbres and tones and colors, and a skillful composer puts them all, knows how to put them all together. That was one of the things that honestly baffled me when I was studying music. As you may know, I was a music major. And we'd have to do little things like putting little pieces of music together or writing a little piece here or doing that. The thing that baffled me was, you know, I could kind of sit down at the piano and make up something that sounded okay, but if you asked me, okay, so how would you voice that in terms of an orchestra? Where does the violin play, and then where does the cello play, and where does the flute? No idea. These people who have this talent are truly remarkable people. But the concept of that orchestra, the concept of the symphony orchestra of all these different parts coming together to fulfill a specific task, is so clearly depicted here in the three chapters that Eric read for us this evening. Psalm 148, Psalm 149, Psalm 150, and isn't it so fitting that as we come to the end of this book that is so full of every single human emotion that you can name, every single human feeling is captured in the Psalms. Every single human dynamic is accomplished in the Psalms. Every kind of a view of God and the full nature of His character we see depicted in the Psalms. Isn't it so wonderful that we come to the last few chapters, and in them, it's this stirring coda, this stirring cadence that the psalmist is saying, everybody, every single instrument, every single voice part, every single created being that is out there, you give praise to God. You come together to make this wonderful sound. Tonight we're going to talk about an orchestra of praise. An orchestra of praise. And we're going to see how all these created beings are being called to strike up the noise, strike up the band, strike up the praise, and sound the goodness and the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And then let's look at ourselves and ask, what's my part in the orchestra of praise right now? And am I fulfilling the part that God has for me? Before we get into this topic this evening, let's pray. Father, thank you for this word of God that is inspired, that is profitable for us this evening. Father, I pray that as we come to this topic of praise, would you be working in our hearts, Lord, to produce that spirit of praise that will allow us to lift up our voices with joy to you. Father, may you be preparing the hearts of every person here this evening to hear your word preached. Would you prepare my lips to sound forth your word faithfully, that I may rightly divide your word of truth, and that we may all join in that this evening. Father, may your Spirit work as he would wish to this evening. May we be submissive to you and to your work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start, first of all, by talking about the music of this orchestra. This orchestra of praise is known by its music. Now, if you think of any of the great symphony orchestras or the great conductors, they may be associated with a particular kind of music. You think of Osmo Vanska. Osmo Vanska is known for his interpretation of Sibelius. The composer Sibelius, people bring him in to hear, you interpret Sibelius wonderfully. And this orchestra of praise, this orchestra that the psalmist is calling to attention, is calling to music here, is also known for its music. What is that? Well, it starts, first of all, with the mission. It starts with the mission that this orchestra has. It's to glorify God. Now, that shouldn't be surprising, because that's your mission, and that's my mission. The Westminster Catechism says it so wonderfully. The very first precept, the very first principle that any child would learn in the Westminster Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? What is that chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, why? Why is it our chief end to glorify God? Now, you may have gotten a little bit of this in our Sunday school topic last month on God is glorious and how do we give glory to God. Why is it our chief end to glorify God? It could really be this simple. He created us. That gives it our mission right there. You know, how many times do we see the created being, the created entity, giving praise and giving glory to what is made? How much praise and glory has been given to a man named Stradivarius? I say that name, and anyone musical, or the people here, anyone who knows the violin says, ah, Stradivarius, yes. I know something about him. He was amazing at making violins. And he even made him making violins hundreds of years ago have the most beautiful sound in the world today. That the name Stradivarius, the violin that was created, has given glory to the man. You go to an art museum and you stand and you look at a painting. And you say, wow, that painting is beautiful, but where are you being drawn back to? Wow, Monet was incredible. You see those brush strokes, that's just amazing. You hear a piece of music that you know. Maybe it's Beethoven's symphony, or maybe it's Bach on the organ. I'm a little partial to that. And you listen to it and you say, that's amazing music. Bach sure was smart, wasn't he? You know, that is our mission. That's why our mission is to glorify God. Because He made us to be His creatures, and so therefore, we are in a sense reflecting back on God. We are reflecting back on Him as His creation. It is our duty, it is our moral obligation to glorify God. And so this orchestra and its music, it's intended, it's obligated, it's a duty of the music to glorify God and lift Him up and make Him known. Secondly, what is the message of this music? What is the message that is being produced by this praise? If our object is to glorify God, and if this orchestra is put together and the music is there to glorify God, well, certainly the message is going to be of praising God. Each of these three psalms starts with an opening sentence. Praise ye the Lord. You know what that is? Look in your margins. What's the little translator's note? Hallelujah. That's what hallelujah means. Halal, the Hebrew word, means praise. Yah, Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And so each of these psalms is from the very first line saying, this is the theme. This is the message. Glorify God. Lift Him up. Praise Him. You know what that Hebrew word praise means? There's the idea, there's the concept of radiance, of brightness, of shining. So what does that say when we say, praise the Lord? You know what we're doing? We're, in a sense, reflecting God's radiance back to Him. We're saying, God, You truly are radiant. You truly are bright. You truly are light. You truly are glorious. You truly are wonderful. It's been said here before how worship is ascribing worth to God. That's what true worship is, saying, God, You are worthy to be praised. You are marvelous. You are wonderful. And so the message of this music from this orchestra of praise is pointing back to God and saying, God, You are wonderful. You are astonishingly good. You are incalculably good. And this is the very message, and this is what is going through all the strains of this music. Third, let's understand the motifs of this music. There's a concept in music called the leitmotif. The leitmotif, it's most associated with the composer Wagner, who would write these grand operas. And the idea of the leitmotif would be as a recurring theme that would come back all throughout the piece. And they would study these leitmotifs because Wagner was very creative. Sometimes they'd be associated with a certain character. There'd be a certain leitmotif associated with that. But what is the motif? What is the recurring theme? What is that which comes back over and over and again in the hymn of praise, in the music of praise that is coming up from this grand orchestra? Well, let's take a look. Look at Psalm 150 and look at verse 2. Actually, just start in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Do you know what the theme that keeps on coming back over and over again in this, when we are praising God, when we are ascribing brightness to Him? God, who You are. God, what You've done. God, Your excellent greatness. You are good. You are holy. You are all these things. You are truly magnificent. And then we ascribe to Him His deeds. We praise Him for what He's done. We say, God, you not only are You good, but You've done good things. Not only are You perfectly good in everything that You are, but it's also in how I've experienced Your goodness. We can say with the psalmist, as for God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. And when we ascribe that to God, we are lifting up that music, that praise to Him. Those are the two motifs that we see. So first of all, in this understanding of what this orchestra of praise is, we see the music. There's a mission behind it to glorify God. There's a message which is ascribing brightness and radiance to His character. And then there is the motifs that we see throughout it of this praise, of praising God for who He is and what He's done. Secondly, let's understand the musicians in this orchestra. Now, you may know the Minnesota Orchestra was on strike for a while, and you can't have an orchestra without musicians. What are these musicians that the psalmist is calling to music here? Calling to say, hey, bow's up, ready to go. It's time for praise. Let's understand, first of all, the composition of these musicians. The makeup. Who they are. I love how the psalmist starts in 148. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Okay, everyone look up. Look up and see, and praise Him, everyone up there, all the angels, all the hosts. Then what does he say? Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Okay, come down a little bit. Next rung down, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Okay, so now we're way up there in the heavens. You praise Him now. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above them, the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Then what does he say? Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. All right, going down, looking down to the depths. And then he goes everywhere in between, fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, and keeps on going, naming every single kind of creation, every kind of created being that God has. Here's the point that I want to bring out for you from this. is that everything that God has created has a duty to praise Him. Inanimate objects, animate objects. Living things, non-living things. The sun is praising God. That's part of the orchestra. The stars are praising God. That's part of the orchestra. Why? The heavens declare the glory of God. They're speaking. There is no voice, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Anyone in any part of the land can look up and see, yep, God's glorious. I can hear, if you will, the music of the spheres. I can hear what they are saying. They're praising God. You know, every beast of the forest, every animal is praising God. Someone goes and studies the worm. Someone goes and looks at the eagle and they say, wow, God's good. God's incredible. God's glorious. God's wise. God's powerful. We look at the deeps. We look at every aspect of His creation, at the mountains, and we sink down in admiration. They are praising God with their voice, and they are continually lifting up the praises of God. What a wonderful thing that is. What about us? Those of us who have been blessed, who God has given with reason, who has given voices to lift up in praise, who has given us language, who has given us the ability to craft instruments of praise to Him. Oh yeah, we're part of that orchestra too. We're part of that symphony. So we see, first of all, the makeup of it, the composition of it. It's all His creation that is designed to praise Him and to be part of this symphony, as these psalms make clear. Secondly, let's look at the characteristics of these musicians. The characteristics are, they are doing what they were created to do. That's what they are. That's what they were created to do. That's what God has intended them to do. And it's what He has intended us to do. When we look and we see the heavens praising God, it should convict us to say, wow, am I praising God? When we look at other created beings that are dumb animals that are going around and yet making God, lifting God's praise up, the question should be, am I following along with that, with my fellow orchestra members of praising God? What is, and one thing we should understand, in God's sovereignty, all His created beings will praise Him. Isn't it interesting that the psalmist says elsewhere, the wrath of man shall praise Thee? Even God, even the wrath of His created beings, in the sovereignty of God, God can use those for His praise. But how much more should His praise be coming from those of us who have the characteristics of being redeemed? Of those of us who have understood what God has done for us. As the psalmist is especially calling out, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. We have a special obligation as musicians. We have a special duty because God has done such great things for us. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Look at this beautiful passage that points forward to our final glorification. Our life in heaven with Him forever and ever. And take a look at verse 21. This is what the prophet says, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. God has made you, He has created you to glorify Him, and He has shown you, even in His love and His grace towards you, He has given you a special calling to glorify Him. What did Paul say in Ephesians 1? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That should be our motto. To the praise of His glory. That's me. That's who I am. That's the characteristic. That's the central characteristic of me as a musician. It's to giving praise to the One who's given me life and given me breath. Third, let's understand the conductor of these musicians. The conductor. Now, I may have mentioned this before, I don't know. I think if there were about one other thing that I would just love to do if I were not an attorney, would be a conductor. Loved it. I absolutely love it. I studied choral conducting when I was in school, and just the ability to work together with people, to craft sounds, to say, let's do this, let's do that, let's not do that, and see this come together. It's just a really, truly rewarding experience. And who is the conductor in this orchestra of praise? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit was the one who really moved on us in our creation. Remember going back to Genesis 1, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, there was this instrumentality that was the Spirit setting things in their right place, in their right order. And the New Testament explicitly places together the Spirit and praise. Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What is that characteristic of being filled with the Spirit? What is the very next verse? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does a conductor do? A conductor is the one cueing, saying, okay, it's your turn to praise. And that is what we understand with the Spirit of God that is in us. And we see even in this passage, this is a Spirit-inspired, God-breathed psalm where the Spirit is saying through these things, okay, you praise, and you praise, and you praise now, and now it's your turn. This is the Spirit of God who is the conductor of this orchestra, who is tuning us and is preparing us for praise. So first of all, we've seen here the music that's intended to give glory to God. We see secondly, the musicians, the characteristic of them to being created to glorify God and fulfilling that work, whether it's the mountains, whether it's the rocks, whether it's the creation that He has made, whether it's His people, anything created being has that characteristic. Third, let's understand the musicianship. The musicianship, in other words, how are we going to fulfill our role in that orchestra of praise? How are we going to be the ones that are sounding forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His wonderful, marvelous light? I think it starts, first of all, with an awareness. An awareness. If you have ever noticed someone who is just very gifted musically, there's something you can't quite put your finger on. But there's something about a musical person that separates them from someone who is could be fairly really technically proficient but not very musical. And if you're a musician or you're musically inclined, you can you can't quite put your finger on, but you can recognize it. Have you ever seen someone playing music and they're playing all the right notes? They're hitting all of them, whether it's on the cello, the violin, whatever it is on the piano, but there's no there. There's no music there. It's just simply hitting all the right notes. And then there's the person who, maybe for lack of a better term, feels the music. There's something inside of them that is just vibrating along with that music. There's just something that's resonating in their heart, and it comes out in what they do. You see, those are the great musicians. Those are the ones who have that gift of being musical, because you can teach technique. You can't really teach that aspect of musicianship. What is the awareness that we need to have? What is that which is going to set our heart resonating in the praise of God and in lifting up the music? Well, let's look at some of these examples. Look at verse 3 of chapter 149. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Turn over to Psalm 150. And again, when this praise that is being lifted up, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And the truth of it is, if our heart is not resonating with the wonderful greatness of who God is and the wonderful acts that he's done for us, we have no chance to sing forth his praise like he would want us to. There's no music in our hearts. If there's no praise that is vibrating, resonating within us, we're going to be pretty pitiful members of that orchestra. What happens when we stand up as a congregation to sing the praises of Zion together? Is your heart resonating? Is my heart resonating as we sing? Because we read these words and we say, this is right. This is my experience of who God is. And so I can sing and praise. This is my experience when we say, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. We can say, that's my story. My heart's resonating as we sing that. My heart is rejoicing as we sing that. Is that what we can say honestly? To say, praise God. If it's not, we can stand there with a hymn book. We can stand there and sing our songs and sing our music. But unless our heart is resonating because it's real to us, we have an awareness of what he's done for us, we're just going to be that wooden, technically proficient person. This is with no music, with no joy. Let's understand and ask the Holy Spirit, what awareness needs to be created? What is getting in the way of me seeing right now the goodness of God for what it is and allowing me to just praise him so naturally? Let's understand, secondly, not just the awareness, but the attention. There is a characteristic of a good orchestral musician that's very much appreciated by the conductor. There is a characteristic of a choral singer that's very much appreciated by the choral conductor. And it has to do with the old joke, how many conductors does it take to screw in a light bulb? No one knows. No one was watching. Ooh, I know. That's a sad one. But unfortunately, very true. But if the Holy Spirit is our conductor, what kind of attention should we be having to his work and his direction in tuning us for praise? What kind of attention, if us being filled in with the Spirit is directly connected with us speaking to ourselves in songs and hymns, psalms and hymns, and spiritual psalms or songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. What kind of attention, what kind of watching and looking for the work of the Spirit should we be having in our life? You know, this is true, for one, because defilement in our life will prevent us from this honest praise, from this joyful praise to God. Go look at this later tonight when you get a chance. Go look at Psalm 51. You may remember that psalm as the heartbroken psalm of David crying out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Is there praise in that psalm? It's a plea. It's a petition. It's a crying out to God. Why? Because there's been sin. There's been serious sin. And that sin in our lives, that sin that is bogging us down, that requires that cry of repentance to God, is what leads us to cry, Lord, restore unto me the joy. Restore unto me the praise. Restore unto me the songs of Zion. You remember when the psalmist is remembering his time in Babylon. And he says, they said to us there, sing us one of the songs of Zion. go ahead and sing us one of those songs. And he says, how can we sing the songs of Zion when we're in a strange land? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And friends, if you are yielding yourself to sin on a daily basis, if you are living in captivity in areas of your life to sin, there's not going to be song in your heart. There's not going to be joy, spontaneous music in your heart of praise to God. All that's going to be there is emptiness. And then you're going to have to go through that period of repentance and brokenness. And then you're going to be that position with David, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, I pray that for each of us, we would understand the fruit of the Spirit that is joy. The fruit of the Spirit that comes from being filled with the Spirit and walking with Him and gaining victory in our daily lives so that we can truly have that praise, that spirit of praise that lifts up our voices to God with the heavenly chorus and all creation going along with Him. Third, let's understand the activity. The activity. If we have this awareness of what God has done for us, our hearts are resonating with the reality of who God is and what He's done. If there is attention there to the Holy Spirit and listening to His leading and listening to His guidance, oh, you better believe the last step there is that activity. Practice. Being ready to spontaneously lift up our voices in song. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, this is a great verse. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By Him, that's by Jesus, and you see in this context, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's what this orchestra of sound, this orchestra of praise is doing, is continually praising God, continually lifting up His praise, continually magnifying Him, continually glorifying Him. As David says in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, isn't it convicting? Isn't it remarkable that when we stand and we look at the heavens, when we stand and look at everything around us, they're all declaring the glory of God? And are His created humans the only ones that aren't joining in the praise? We look up at any time and see the sun, see the moon, and we say, yes, that's giving praise to God right now. And are we the ones that are staying silent? Are we the ones that are muted? Are we the ones when the songs of Zion are being sung? We're the ones that are distracted and our minds are out in left field, and we're the ones that are bored as can be? Oh, what a dishonor that is to the name of the Lord. What a dishonor it is to the name of our God when our heart is not full of the praises of God, when we are the musicians with our violins down by our side while everyone else is playing. Let's understand what the musicianship of this orchestra is. It's that awareness, understanding what God has done for us. It's that attention to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's that activity, that continual praise, that continual that just flows from us and through us and reflects glory back to the one who made it. So Friday night was opening night for the Minnesota Orchestra. And I pray that tonight, in my heart or in your heart, if those songs of Zion haven't been there, if that praise of God has not been continually on your lips, if you are not a faithful member of that orchestra of praise, I pray that tonight would be your, in a sense, opening night of allowing God's Spirit to work through you and produce that spirit of praise that glorifies and gives honor to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for the praise that we can give, that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Father, I pray that every single person here who knows You would sing forth those praises even this evening. Father, I pray that whatever stands in the way of my praise to You, whatever stands in the way of each of our praise, Father, would Your Holy Spirit identify it? Would that conductor show where we are out of tune, where we are not right with God, And Father, I pray that we, even tonight, would understand, would come into a greater awareness of your amazing grace to us and your wonderful goodness. Father, I pray that your Spirit would do his work this evening. Now let's just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to work, to do his task of leading us into all truth, and asking him whether we're an effective member of that orchestra of praise. Let's take a few moments. Father, may each of us in this body be equipped with the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand to fight manfully as you would have us to in this evil world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.